One of the things that I like least in the world is shopping. I have a simple rule. If I can't buy it online, I probably don't need it. The prospect of going into a store just for fun seems masochistic to me, unless it's a store that has maps. When I lived in California, if I really wanted a treat, I'd hop in the car and drive 40 miles to San Francisco to visit the Rand McNally Map Store. I could easily spend 3 or 4 hours browsing through their atlases, country maps, topographical maps, and even street maps of cities I am sure I will never visit. And yet the curious thing is, if you give me directions from here to Falls Church, I'll probably get lost at least twice. Whenever someone tries to give me directions, I just let them go through their spiel. And then when they finished, I ask them to start over again, but this time giving me some landmarks. Take a left at the Pizza Hut at the top of the hill. Veer right at the Harris Teeter after Wilson Boulevard. Just telling me to go 4.8 miles and take a left does not work for me. I need landmarks to find my way. The same is true for me on my journey as a disciple. General statements are not enough. Do good and avoid evil doesn't do it for me. Be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect, is a little too vague. Fortunately, every now and again, a gospel comes along with landmarks for people like me. Today's is one of them. A series of characters walk in and out of this story, and what they say and how they act provide landmarks for disciples on the way. They help us to understand who Jesus is and how we should respond if we want to be better disciples. So, scene one. John the Baptist spots Jesus walking toward him and says to the people with him, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." John still holds fresh in his memory Jesus' baptism, which took place immediately before this episode. He recalls that as he poured water on Jesus' head, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit of God come down upon Jesus. That extraordinary occurrence convinced John that Jesus was filled with the power and strength of God like no other person before him. That's a landmark for us. It reminds us that, like John the Baptist, we need to be constantly on the lookout for those people in whom God's Spirit and power seem to be present in a special way. People, for instance, whose generosity and concern for others challenge us to become more sensitive too. Scene two. When John exclaims, "Look, the Lamb of God," the two disciples with him get caught up in John's enthusiasm and take off after Jesus. Jesus, sensing their presence, turns and asks, "What are you looking for?" What a question. He's not asking if they've lost their way. He's asking, "What do you want? What will satisfy your yearning hungers? What will calm your nagging fears, relieve your pain, give you strength and hope?" The two disciples, in turn, respond to Jesus with another question. "Rabbi, where do you live?" In other words, a fleeting conversation here on the street won't be enough for us. We need to spend time with you. That little exchange between Jesus and the disciples is another landmark for us. Discipleship is not simply about being good and following rules. Discipleship means asking questions as we move through our life. How can I let my spouse and my children know how much I love them? Who needs an encouraging word from me this evening? Would my words and actions convince anyone that I am a friend of Jesus? Disciples who know how to question their life, they are a second marker for us. Scene 3. Andrew, one of the disciples who followed Jesus that afternoon, had a brother we already know quite well, Simon Peter. Andrew runs to Peter and exclaims, "We have found the Messiah." Then he leads Peter to Jesus, and a remarkable thing happens. Andrew just fades into the woodwork. We hear about Peter in just about every other chapter of the gospel, but Andrew is never mentioned again, except once. It's the time that Jesus was faced with the dilemma of feeding 5,000 people in an out-of-the-way place. The other 11 apostles just stand around wringing their hands and sighing, "Where could we ever find enough food to feed these people?" Andrew, on the other hand, pops up and says, "Well, there's a boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Andrew leads that boy to Jesus. In fact, that seems to be Andrew's mission in life, leading other people to Jesus. Without Andrew, there would have been no Peter. Without Andrew, 5,000 people would have trudged home famished. Andrew's another landmark for us. He reminds us that it's not important how much recognition we get. What's important is that we continue to point the way to Jesus by the way we live. It's the Andrews here who notice a person in need and asks, "Isn't there something that we could do?" It's the Andrews here who spot the injustice around us and insist, "That is not right." The Andrews are the people who do their good deed and then quietly slip into the background, not waiting for accolades. So, 3 landmarks. John the Baptist, always on the lookout for people who channel God's power and strength. The disciples who continue to question, not just asking what kind of person do I want to be, but also wondering what can I do to become that person. And finally, Andrew, acting as a bridge, bringing others to Jesus, and also bringing Jesus' healing presence into the brokenness of our world. With markers as clear as these, even the most directionally challenged among us should be able to find our way to better discipleship.